Welcome to the Birmingham Vineyard podcast. We hope you find it insightful and encouraging.
If you want to find out more about us, why not check out our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
You're a very blessed church.
Yes.
He sold me in about an hour to join this place. All the neat things you're doing, that Acts of 1000 or however you call it, that's super. By the way, we are absolutely in love with your pastors. We think they're great. And I've tried to hire him. He won't accept my offer. I try to hire anybody that's not nailed down entirely. He said, no, I live in Birmingham. I'm for you guys. So,
aren't you trying to get the daughters now?
Yeah, now yeah. I recruit the daughters, but they're not coming either. But no, we're just really thrilled to be with you at Water Baptisms. They're one of the great celebrations of our church. We're looking forward to being with yours. And we just want to say we're going to share together. We've been married 47 years. We've been pastoring over 40 years, been in the vineyard most of those years. And it's just been a great journey. But we have some things we think God would like you to hear today. And we hope we help you on your journey. So,
okay, let's pray. Okay. Father, we thank you so much. I just thank you for every precious person here, man, woman, child. I thank you, Father, that you know our needs. You know what's in our hearts. You love us. And today, you're here. You're here to minister to us. Open up our ears. Open up our hearts. We want you to teach us, Holy Spirit. We all want to leave here loving Jesus more and loving one another here and in this community. So come, have your way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're just going to take about 20 minutes and share a little bit of our story. And we've called this message, God is Writing a Good Story. And it actually is guaranteed to have a happy ending. And that goes for all of us. So this is our story. But the cool thing is, God knew you even before you were in your mother's womb. He did. The prophet Jeremiah tells us that. So that's pretty amazing. He has some stunning things that he wants to do in you, through you, for you. But we're not always aware of those. And if you're like us, as we tell our story, there was a time when we wanted nothing to do with God because our picture of God was all messed up. As, at least in the States, many people's pictures of God are all messed up, whether that's thanks to TV or life experiences. But the truth is, he's an amazing father, and that's what we discovered. So we're going to share with you, we've been water baptized almost 47 years, and it's just the beginning. So those of you who are being water baptized today, and those of you who are still waiting, this is the initiation into a fantastic life, because water baptism is a beautiful picture of what has actually happened to you, and that is you died. You died with Jesus. That's good news, okay? And you get buried with him, and when you come up out of that water, you are showing the world, I'm a brand new person. And that is a glorious life. That you come out of that grave, you're a brand new person, and we've spent 47 years learning how to live as new people. Yeah, we're not always too successful at that, but thankfully God has given us his Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in us and empowers us to live as a brand new person. So where did it start for us? Well, we say it this way, good family, oh, this is the next slide, good family, bad religion. Some of you might identify with that. So we had wonderful Christian families, actually. Both Happy and I, we were raised in two different cities. We were actually raised in the same faith, although we didn't know that until we met one another at the university. But we were raised in a very legalistic, very oppressive faith, if you will. Our parents are wonderful people, but the church in which we were raised said, you know, no dating, no movies, no TV, no sports, no music. No makeup, no jewelry, no, no, no. You want to be a Christian, right? No. And so we had this skewed picture of who God is, that he was this stern taskmaster who pretty much was intent on ruining our lives and definitely on making it miserable. And whatever he wanted for us, it probably was being sent to Siberia or someplace like the least likely place that we would ever desire to go. And so that was both of our pictures. We didn't know that until we ran into one another at the University of Illinois in the late 60s. And at the time, I was just a measly little first-year student. Hap was a big man on campus. We call those BMOCs. And that means even in a campus of almost 50,000 people, he was popular and well-known, and I got swept off my feet. And I was truly swept off my feet when he assured me that he had no interest in God, just like me. We were both 100%. We called it pastor's kids gone wild. And yeah, there we are. I'm sad to report drunk and stupor. But hey, this is before we died with Christ and rose and became a brand new person. We're at a college dance there. And we both came from families where our fathers were lay pastors. That just meant they preached on the weekends, but otherwise they had full-time jobs outside of ministry. But so we were pastors' kids gone wild, and we fell deeply, deeply in love. And when he proposed to me, he said, you know, I agree with you. There's not going to be any church, any God, no farm, because I'm guaranteeing you I will be a millionaire by age 30. And I said, I will gladly marry you right now. Now, I'm sad to report I'm still waiting. He has turned 70, but it's good. As we often say, we're rich in many, many ways. You see, again, we didn't know that God wanted to write a good story in our life. We thought we could write a better story. And that's why we were taking control and saying, nope, we're going to do this. We're going to do it our way. And what we didn't know is that, wow, he is a pursuing father. He's a searching God. That's, you know, Jesus came and showed us the Father, and full of love and mercy and forgiveness, and he comes for us. He's coming for us. He knows us by name. He's just waiting. And sure enough, 1 month into our marriage, even though all of the bold proclamations, we will never, ever become a Christian, I meet Jesus. Now, you see, I'd known church, and I'd known religion. I'd never known Jesus. I'd not met him, in spite of being raised, you know, in a church, read the Bible, taken to many meetings, but I got totally skewed. And, of course, that was a little bit of a difficult situation as I was reneging on what I had promised Hap that I would never become a Christian. But as the Holy Spirit moved on me and revealed the love of the Father, and I was able to share that with Hap, and he could see that my life right there already was being transformed, you too said yes to Jesus, and we were water baptized together in May of 1972. And we really, really discovered that God was running to us and that the Father's love for us is so extravagant. And this was a revelation to us. Again, we had no idea he was a good God who was writing a good story, who had good things for us. Again, coming out from under religion and what we had such a skewed picture of God, this was an amazing picture. But through it all, at any point, you know, we could have said no. I mean, I could have said no as that feeling descended on me. I was just sitting on my sofa on the campus of the University of Illinois. You know, we're both in school, and I'm just reading a book, and out of my mouth comes, I want to know Jesus. Where did that come from? Well, his name is the Holy Spirit. You know, we have one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is always wanting to crack open our hearts, open our minds, allow us to see who Jesus really is. And we always have a choice. And that's, you know, sometimes that can be hard with God. Sometimes I wish he would just twist our arm. But no, he's just right there. Choose. Do you want this? I like how Jesus says it, and this will be our main text. This is from the Message translation of the Bible. And Jesus issues an invitation here. And it's an invitation for all of us, all of us. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion. That was us. Okay? We were tired, we were worn out, we were burned out on religion, we wanted nothing to do with it. This is what he said. He doesn't say, come to church. He doesn't even say, read the Bible. He says, come to me. Come to me. Get away with me. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Oh, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you, but keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's his invitation to all of us. I receive that invitation every day to walk with Jesus, work with Jesus, watch how he does it, and learn to live freely and lightly. He's an amazing teacher. So that's his invitation. He's wanting to write a good story, and I'll let Hap pick up now on how our story unfolded.
So I wasn't very happy the day she said she wants to get saved. I was pretty upset, but I was smart enough.
But you love me.
I loved her, and I knew I didn't want to go to hell, so I just made a good decision. I'm just going to go to heaven. I'm going to get saved. But I didn't really fall in love with Jesus until the next story happens, in our chapter in our story. I'm out working in the business world. I have an MBA. I'm working in finances. She has a master's in teaching school, and joining. But we found out we couldn't have kids after a while. We come from big families. And she'd walk to school by choice about a mile away, crying all the way. And she'd say, if Jesus were here, he would heal me and give me a kid, because she'd read that in the Bible. I informed her with my wise knowledge and deep spiritual insights. That's Old Testament stuff, or Jesus isn't around anymore. You know, he doesn't do that stuff.
But we did have a very, very dire medical diagnosis. It wasn't just we were married and couldn't have children. It was you cannot have children. You're missing half your reproductive system. You no longer function as a woman, and you're not particularly healthy. And so after surgeries and drugs and lots of money, we were told, this is not going to happen.
Yeah, and so she's getting more desperate. And Solomon, I don't know how he would know this, but said a barren woman is never pregnant. I don't know how he even knew all
never
his wives.
Never satisfied.
Yeah, is never satisfied. I don't know how he even knew all his wives, but let alone he understood that. That was true. You weren't satisfied, and I didn't know what to do about it. So one day, I'm a salesperson. I'm out driving my car, and before that, a young guy in my office comes in, and he says to me, Happy, did you know that God is still doing the same miracles today he did 2,000 years ago? I thought, I didn't have any classes at the university. I thought, he is? Well, sign me up. Where do we get one? And he introduced us to, through that, his leadership, we ended up getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then became the key to our lives, and our whole story revolves around the Spirit. But it's like, wow, when we met the Spirit, the scales on our eyes fell. I didn't know any Bible verse until I met the Spirit. And I'd been studying. You actually put me on a reading plan. And I would read the Bible half hour a night. I'm in the top 10% of intelligence and couldn't remember one Bible verse. Not one. I'd meet the Holy Spirit, and suddenly 500 verses opened up to me, including the fact he's a healer, he's good. It's like, who rewrote this Bible? This isn't the same Bible I've been reading. So I'm out driving around one day, and I'm a salesman, and I've never heard God speak before or since so plainly. God says, hey, you know this medical stuff you're doing, you're going to your last appointment. It's the top expert in the Midwest. He's going to give you really bad news, but don't worry about it. I've got it all taken care of. I promptly marched in, told my wife, God talked to me.
I was like, whoa, wait a minute. You see, we didn't know God talked.
No, I didn't, but I didn't know
he did
either.
We have the Bible. That was enough. I mean, I didn't want to go around hearing voices, right? And then I said, if God was going to talk, I mean, I actually think he would talk to me. Yeah. I know that was terrible, but then
we actually have a good marriage.
Yeah, we do have a good marriage.
Ironically, or not ironically, in reality, that doctor said exactly what I said. You're getting bad report. And for the first time, you didn't walk out crying. You thought, well, if the first half of the word's right, probably the second half of the word's right. And through it all, that just became an interesting opportunity to see. So,
well, I think what's interesting there, and this is for all of us, You never know when God is going to interrupt at any moment and begin to write a new chapter. Today is actually a new chapter for some of you. You got invited here, perhaps, or maybe you've been coming for a while. God is ready to write a brand new chapter. He is the God of the impossible. He is the God of redemption. And when that man walked into Happy's office, out of the clear blue, said, God is still doing miracles. Like, where did that come from? We'd been told miracles were over. This doesn't happen anymore. You know, that ceased. And again, we had a choice. Are we going to believe this? And indeed, we followed through with going with this man's suggestion to a meeting where we met the Holy Spirit. We'd never heard the Holy Spirit again. We were like, boom, God opened our eyes to we could actually be filled with God himself. He wants to be our teacher. And that makes it a whole lot easier to cooperate with his story, because when he lives inside of you and he's the teacher, it makes a big difference. Well, we're on this journey. We're excited. We know God does miracles now. We can't wait to tell people. We can't wait to receive our miracle. We start telling everybody, God's a healer. Come to our house. Our house filled up. Again, that was a whole new chapter. I mean, he's on his way to making a million. I'm working on my doctorate now at the university. We're like, this isn't our plan. But God is writing a new chapter. And this goes on now almost a year. We're telling people, God does miracles. God answers prayer. God's a healer. But there's no evidence ourselves. This is a really important lesson. God loves faith. Faith, you know, faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. You don't need faith if you can see it. And so he was teaching us, how do we trust him and his word, what he promises, which is healing? He's the one who said, be fruitful and multiply. He healed 8 documented barren women in the Bible. Okay, God, I'm choosing to believe that over all the physical evidence of my own body. And we're just making a choice. Was that easy? No. That was a very difficult chapter in our life. There will be difficult chapters. But you know, if there's not a crisis, who wants to read a story without a crisis? Really? That'd be a boring book, right? It's just when you live through it, you don't like it. So now, it's been 15 months, and, you know, God, again, he's a very good God. He's writing a very, very good story. And there's a long story that goes along with this that I don't have time to tell, but we continue to trust God. He gave us some very specific instructions as we were offered an adoption, and God challenged us, like, why are we receiving that child? And we're like, well, you're for adoption. God's like, no, why are you adopting that baby? And we had to admit, it's because we didn't really believe he'd come through. See, it's really important to be honest with God, because he knows anyway, right? So we said the adoption agency the next day, please give that baby to the next family. You know, we're trusting God. And that was a very difficult decision. It was one, again, where we're very aware that God was working, but we wouldn't know it for another 3 months, as we have no physical evidence, no signs of healing. But 3 months later, we discovered that very night that we told the adoption agency, please take our name off the list, give the baby to the next family, is the night we conceived our first son. And this is a picture of me and our oldest son, who's now almost 40, Jonathan David. And God's good story took a different turn, as did our life, as did the lives of all the people that we'd been telling for over a year, that God is good, he does miracles, he answers prayer, that your joy will be filled. Just ask him. And God wasn't done yet. He's going to go on and surprise us some more.
So meanwhile, my attempts to make a million hit a big bump. These people kept
skid
hanging around.
Skid is the proper word. Skid.
Yeah. They kept coming around, and they wanted us to take care of them. And finally, the Lord says, I want you to start a church. I thought, God, are you having a bad day? I have an MBA, and literally before I met the Spirit, that 1 year before, I didn't know any Bible verses, and I have no Bible training. I said, I can't start a church. He said, yeah, you can. And all you have to do is I'll send you everybody and everything you ever need, and you just plug and play. You know, you put them into the right position and find their gifts, and it'll build a church. I said, oh, I can do that. And he said, don't call yourself a pastor. Just say you're partnering with me. So the Lord kind of tricked me because it looks kind of like pastoring. But through it all, we start the church. Supernaturally, another chapter, we find the vineyard serendipitously. We're an independent church. We become part of the vineyard family. And God has really blessed the church. We have three campuses, about 3,000 people. And it's like, wow, he just keeps adding chapter after chapter to a story. I call these things, she calls them divine stumbles, where you stumble into God or falling into favor. I call them pinball moments. Those of you old enough know pinball machines. The ball goes up, it hits bumpers, and when the ball hits a bumper, it's redirected. All of your life, you're being redirected by God. Sometimes you're aware of it, sometimes you ignore it, but sometimes you participate with it. We ended up participating with most of the bumpers.
Right, and where we got off course, you know, one of those, like, bad, not one, but several bad choices. You know, I'm thankful because God just writes a new chapter. He just writes a new chapter. And we discovered that he is such a good father, and failure doesn't bother him at all. And he wants you to know that, too, about the story he's writing in your life. He's just asking you to cooperate, just keep choosing, keep being alert for all the times that he's coming to intersect and show you again what an amazing God he is, a loving God, a miracle-working God. And he is a God of abundance, literally. This is our family now. We number 28 with 29 coming in the summer. And so what we were told would never happen has now resulted in five amazing children, four sons, one daughter, all married, all loving Jesus as of today, and 16 grandchildren, one on the way. And we're extremely grateful for God's abundance. I mean, this is a story God wrote, because this was not the story we had in mind. But I'm so thankful by his grace, he empowered us to keep coming to him, saying yes to him, choosing his story, because he wants to give good gifts to his children. And we leave you today with probably the most famous text in all of the Bible, but it is God's voice to all of us. And it is, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So you have a choice. Are you going to receive that gift or say, oh, no, thank you, as a gift? So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. And that invitation is for all today. If you come to him, you believe in this Jesus we're going to celebrate here in a moment with water baptism to show he was crucified, he was buried, he was raised. Why? So we could be crucified, buried, raised up right now to life now, everlasting, guaranteed happy ending.
Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the talk and found it helpful.
Why not come along and visit us? We gather at three services across two sites on a Sunday and meet during the week in small groups across the city. More information on both of these can be found on our website.
Thanks for listening, and God bless.